Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. To Lord Terry's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So, pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Lord Terry.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. We're just happy that you're with us, and welcome. So, this is Reverend Terry Power, and you're listening to the Power Hour. And I am joined tonight by my partner, my friend, and my lady. Robin, are you there with us?
I am here, yes indeed.
All right, and we are continuing our series on the archetypes tonight. And actually, this is the last of the archetypes that we're going to cover, and then we're going to have a wrap-up show here in a few weeks to talk about the whole series. But tonight we're going to be talking about the sage. And every time I think of the sage, my first thought is Gandalf. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that's because I'm a Lord of the Rings geek. But, you know, that's the energy that I think of when I think of the sage. And, you know, and as I've thought about the sage over the last couple of days, and particularly today, I've been thinking about how there's also a guardian type of energy there. And not guardian like the, you know, the guardian at the gate, but more the shepherd. I guess cunningness, you know, that kind of guardian of the gates of life and death, life and rebirth. You know, Lord of the Forest, the whole later aspects, or the, you know, the leadership aspects of the Horned God, all of that kind of comes to my mind as I've been thinking about this. And, you know, some of the energies that, you know, honestly, I've been feeling moving in my world lately. So I would like to go ahead and get your take on the sage. And, well, or anything I just said, so.
Well, for me, the sage is the wise one. He's already done the father. He's been the lover. He's been the, you know, the prince in search of himself. And he's learned an awful lot along his journey. And now his job is to sit back and watch and interject and guide from his own experience, you know, the ultimate mentor, the ultimate wise one, to say, hey, you know, I did that this way and it didn't work for me. Maybe you should try something else. or vice versa, and say, you know, I think it works better this way. It's the way I did it. And, you know, sometimes we're not always open to those kinds of advice when we hear it from humans in our lives. But he really truly is that sort of grandfatherly, going to put his arm around you and make it all better, you know, the sage, the wise one, the protector, the... But, you know, it's funny because as we age, we embody, we don't pass out of the old stages of the lover and the father. We just deepen into them. Do you know what I mean?
Well, exactly. I mean, just because someone moves into, someone is, you're working with the, the sage or the wizard energy, doesn't mean that they're not also the father and not also a lover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that, you know, that's one thing that people seem to think that they're mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the energy that you're working with at a certain time doesn't necessarily reflect your entire life or everything
right.
that's going on in your world.
Right.
You know, and the, you know, just because that sage energy has been working with me lately
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that I'm not also a father.
Right.
Not also, you know, and I'm also a lover. That doesn't...
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank you, ma'am. You know, that doesn't mean that you know, all of those things go away.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the crone is still the mother. The crone can still be, there can still be a lover.
Yeah.
You know, none of that has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, the hero energy still functions. You know, none of these archetypes are ever intended to stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at working with those energies. So, you know, that was a very good point you made.
Oh, well, thank you.
What else have you got?
What else have I got?
It's going to be a real short show if that's all you got.
Well, you know, the sage is, you know, oftentimes when we mature and we grow older, our job becomes to be the anchor of the family. And so in a lot of ways, the sage is the physical anchor for us as he grows older and he embodies, you know, as the crone embodies all our intuitive, you know, internal workings. The sage, of course, is external, and he is the grandfather of everything physically in our world, the forests, the trees, the things, anything that you can physically touch. And that even in some ways is true of our physical vessel. And it's sort of appropriate that as he ages and matures, and we are also aging and maturing, that part of his wisdom is to teach us to take care of our vessel so that we get to be the sage and the crone. And you often will see pictures of the crone sort of looking old and wrinkly, but it's funny how when you occasionally see the picture of a sage, he might have a beard to indicate his age, but he's got a youthful face, you know, sort of that Santa Claus look to him. Not overweight, but that youthful look in the face, the rosy cheeks, the bright eyes, the intelligence, the wisdom that he holds. And
yeah, and it shows him standing up straight. And
mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, there's he carries the staff, but he's not leaning on it.
Right. Yeah, you get the impression he's carrying it more as a way of protection for himself and for those he loves.
Yeah, or as the greater tool instead of a wand,
mm-hmm.
The staff.
Right, the repository for all his knowledge.
Right, and a means by which to direct it.
Mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. also as a symbol of status.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the staff indicates a certain level of achievement, a certain level of, I don't know, wisdom, accomplishment. Mm-hmm. You know, you see young people walking with walking sticks, and you don't see that stick the same way as you do a more mature gentleman walking with a staff.
Right.
It takes on a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
And when in fact, I mean, that's a whole other, you know, probably another whole episode talking about the difference between a staff and a walking stick.
Mm-hmm.
And the energies that go into it.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a, you know, that's part of the symbology of the, sage. And that energy moves in and out of our lives. Mm-hmm. And admittedly, as we grow older, that energy becomes more prominent. The roles associated with the sage become more prominent in our lives.
Yes.
Those roles tend to find us, and it's up to us to deal with the energy and to deal with the roles. I've been working with that energy because the role itself has kind of been thrust upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got two choices. I can either, you know, try to do it on my own and run and hide, or I can embrace the energy and bring that through in a positive way to further develop into the role that I'm being called to,
mm-hmm.
and try to embrace it in a positive way. And I think that happens with a lot of us with these energies. Are we going to embrace it, or are we going to hide from it?
Yeah, and it's funny how, you know, because of the crone and the sage are obviously that we are maturing, and you have gained some wisdom and some knowledge, and usually it goes along with, you know, a more advanced age, if you will. Sometimes people are loath to work with those energies because they feel like, well, I'm not that old. I'm not there yet. And sometimes we don't pick them for ourselves. Sometimes they just come to us and say, tap you on the shoulder and go, it's time, whether you really are ready for it or not.
Well, that happens with a lot of things in life. I mean, that you know, we're rarely ready for the roles that are thrust upon us.
This is true. This is very true. You know, how many times do you see people who are getting married and you think to yourself, well, they're really babies, they're not ready for that, but it's not going to stop them. And then, you know, people who are having children who might not also be mature enough, but it's not going to stop them. You know, this is trial by fire. Some people have to learn things the hard way. Trial by fire,
yeah.
and just doing it and learning it, which actually is a good way to learn, because, you know, usually you don't forget lessons learned that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, the time when I started realizing, you know, what was it, about 4 weeks ago, when I started realizing that role was being, I was being called to it. And, you know, here are all the children around me,
mm-hmm.
and following me around on the mountain,
mm-hmm.
and listening to my stories and just wanting to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And the realization that you know, that kind of grandfatherly, listening to grandfather's stories kind of role was suddenly there in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what am I going to do with this?
Right.
And, you know, and then, You know, then, it all sounds so hokey when I say it out loud sometimes. To me, at least to my mind, it does. But, you know, working with that energy, embracing the energy, feeling the energy, feeling it tugging at me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that night that we, you know, consecrated the altar and the horned god came to me and mm-hmm. came through me. You know, that energy, that was a very different energy than I've ever worked with. So, we work with those energies. And, you know, the best thing that I found when I'm put into that role is to deal with it, to go for it and to go forward with it. I wasn't expecting it by any stretch, but when it was time, you know, as Robin had said a minute ago, when it's time, you just find yourself there, and you know we work with the energies that come. Let's see. Now, I do want to remind everybody that we're taking calls tonight. And you can call in at 646-564-9714. Now, you can call into that number and listen if you're not near your computer and you want to listen to the show that way. It's a perfectly legitimate way to listen to the show. If you want to talk, though, you have to hit the 1 button. And that will put you into the host queue and we'll put a flag on your phone number in the queue and we'll know that you are requesting to be on the air with us. And we would love to hear some stories from you guys about the sage energy, your thoughts on the sage, and please feel free to call in tonight, or if you're in the chat room, put your questions in the chat room, and we'll do the best we can to get to them. As I said at the top of the show, when I think of the sage, I immediately, I immediately think of Gandalf, but there's also Merlin. I've already mentioned Kerniners. Mm-hmm. Now, Robin, what are some of the manifestations that you associate with the sage?
Oh, well, as far as modern literature, I would have to agree with you that Merlin is certainly the quintessential sage. Gandalf is certainly in that role. From Harry Potter,
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore, those guys. Yep, all of those guys are in that role of mentor and sage, and also in the Harry Potter series, the giant guy that terrible witch. Yes, yeah, I'm a terrible witch. I don't know all that stuff by heart. You need Lily for that.
Hagrid,
that's it. He is also sort of the younger version of the mentor for the kids, but he's still a mentor, and in some ways he is their sage, although he is still at the stage where he's kind of making some mistakes. But you can see he's being groomed for that role in his life, that he will ultimately be a sage to the kids that come to the school. He's sort of in transition. There are so many. Shakespeare's The Tempest, the father. I don't know if you're familiar with The Tempest, but he and his Prospero and his daughter are, sort of on this island, shipwrecked on this island, and he raises his daughter there. And there's this sort of creature that also lives on the island called Caliban, and Prospero is cast in the role of sage, magician, mentor, protector, So, going back to some of the more classical literature, then that I would look at Prospero as that as well.
Yeah, and Glacius is in the chat room saying Yoda.
Yoda, absolutely.
From the Star Wars saga. I would even put Obi-Wan in that role as well.
Yeah, yep.
From my own workings with the Celtic, with the Two Hearted Diamond,
mm-hmm.
I would say that the Dagda easily falls into that role of the magician. While the character of the Dagda is often seen somewhat buffoonery,
mm-hmm.
and is certainly has aspects of the lover,
mm-hmm.
And the father being considered by in some stories the father of the Two Hearted Diamond. He's got that sage role in his age and wisdom and the fact that he works magic.
Mm-hmm.
Of all of the stories, he's the one that's got really a lot of the stories told about magical working.
Mm-hmm.
Are associated with the Dagda. So you've got the magician of any pantheon is going to be that kind of sage character.
Yeah.
Now, I would put Odin in that, as well as the father, but also the sage.
Mm-hmm. Glacius is in the chat room talking about, he says here, if we look into metaphysics, we can even consider our own higher selves, our intuition and conscience, to be the sage guiding us within. He has a point. I'm not sure that I entirely agree with that, because if it's your own higher self, that goes on throughout your life, and sometimes this is going to sound odd, but sometimes I've been given a bum steer by my higher self. There have been moments where I've made decisions that I thought, well, gee, maybe that wasn't the best decision. My higher self could have, maybe thought that one through a little better. So I don't know that our higher self is actually always as experienced as we would hope. But I could be wrong. It's happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's an interesting thought. I mean, we are looking for, we are talking about the guidance that we get,
mm-hmm.
and that guiding energy. And, I think that if you have a pantheon that you work with and you're needing to start looking at the sage energies, it's certainly something you should research within your pantheon. If you have no pantheon particularly that you work with, you might want to look at the sage archetype itself and look at those energies, meditate on those energies. When we do our guided meditations, we often are faced with the god and goddess in our Sabbat rituals, and we tend to see them in the time and in the aspect that's appropriate for the time of year for the Sabbat. But a very similar kind of meditation could be done to seek out any particular archetype of the sage in this case, and sit and listen and commune with and ask advice about how to bring them into our daily life. So those are just some of the ways that you can get into that energy. Let's go ahead and take a short break. And we're going to play a song called Antlered Crown and Standing Stone. Seemed it was somewhat appropriate for the sage tonight. and I just love this song. So this is by Darv the Bard, Antlered Crown, and Standing Stone. Stick around, and we'll be back here in a few minutes.
Within the leaf, I'm the voice within the tree. I am boy, I am man, the face of the changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand. And everywhere that I have been, my passing turns the gray to green. The birds sing to the dawn, and the land has awoken. And oh, my lady lays with me, and our love weaves a tapestry, eternal thread unbroken. In all of nature that is reborn every spring, call of stag and cry of eagle, I am child of barleycorn, and I am the antlered crown and standing stone. And I am the antlered crown.
You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
You're listening to Lord Terry's Power Hour on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to Lord Terry.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and this is Power Hours. And I'm joined tonight by my lady love, Robin, who is sharing this these archetype episodes with us. Hi, darling.
Hi, sweetheart.
So, during the break, there were some there was some conversation going on about the sage, and you know, I thought that you might have had a couple of other pointers that you wanted to, or a couple of ideas that you wanted to throw out there.
Well, one of the things that we had discussed earlier is the fact that the sage archetype is very often ignored. People don't talk a lot about it. You don't see a lot of things written about him either. And I don't know whether that's unwillingness on the part of some people to move into that stage of their life, or an unwillingness to look for wisdom from without. They tend to feel like it should come from within, or it should come from, you know, their physical father. But that is a way of reaching out to the sage, the physical sage in your life. But oftentimes we don't embrace it and we don't talk about it, and people tend to gloss over the sage. As a matter of fact, I find that there is some inequality in the way we view the male archetypes versus the female archetypes, but that's a whole topic for another show. But I think.
Well,
for
in
men,
what way? Now, do you think that the crone is embraced more fully than the sage?
I do, because I think that more women talk about it, and we have a physical, we have a specific physical thing we can point to that says, well, now I'm a crone. Whereas for men, it's more of a slow attrition, if that's not too unkind a concept. You know, they suddenly wake up, they don't suddenly wake up one day and say, oh, well, this physical thing's not happening for me anymore, so I'm not going to, I know I'm, you know, I've reached that point in my life. And, you know, for women, we go through menopause. And a lot of women consider, once they've gone through menopause, that after that they are now officially a crone. But for men, they really don't have that. You know, some men would point to the fact that, well, they get up more and pee at night, and maybe they, you know, their erections aren't what they used to be when they were 22. But that is a slow progression into that. There's no set point that says, okay, now I'm no longer the young man. You know, there's the physical thing that happens when you have children, so you now know you're a father. There's the physical thing, you know, when you're younger, you kind of develop hair and, you know, go through puberty, so you know now that you're sort of the prince or the young, you know, warrior, or however you want to, whatever archetype you want to use for that stage of your life, the lover, you know, whatever archetype you look to for that stage. But for the sage, for men, there is no real physical demarcation of, okay, now I'm a sage, like there is with a lot of the other stages of life. And I think that that may be part of why the sage is less embraced publicly by men. And also, there is a perception in our culture, particularly, that there's no honor in being the sage. You know, oftentimes you see when men retire from their jobs, they frequently go into a depression because men are so identified with what they do for a living rather than who they are and the families that they have raised and, you know, the people who love them and the people whom they love. And so once they stop having that physical job and that status that goes along with that job, sometimes they have trouble coping with that. And I do believe that that's for a lack of a respect for that sage and the sage energy in our culture. Now, once you retire,
we could get into the whole thing about the male archetypes being rejected by contemporary society as a whole. I mean, the whole, you know, rejection of all that is male. And, you know, that includes, I'm trying to find the right words here. I'm actually struggling. I apologize, folks. We tend to, in society, and this is something that I've talked about on the show a few times, and we'll probably talk about again, is there are no good male role models. And, you know, certainly the sage is the ultimate in, you know, if we're going to reduce the male to, you know, a bumbling idiot kind of role, then we're certainly not going to embrace the sage, because that is the opposite of that bumbling fool. And, you know, that and someone said in the chat room, I think it was Glacius said in the chat room, you know, men are going to say, I'm not that old. You know, I'm just not old enough to be, you know, the sage. I'm not an old man. You know, who are you calling old? I'm in that category as well. I don't think of myself as an old man. Now, I certainly got a few years on me, but I don't think of myself as an old man. But at the same time, when that energy has thrust itself upon me, I really don't have any choice. but to listen and to you know, deal with it in a positive way, rather than be, you know, crushed by the role and not be ready for it. So, you know, unfortunately, I think contemporary society doesn't embrace wise men. And that's particularly true in the pagan communities, where, you know, that sage role kind of smacks with the patriarchy and is something that is immediately rejected and feared within the pagan communities, because here we have now, you know, this wise old man. Well, that sounds too much like, the Pope or something. And that, you know, knee-jerk reaction to reject anything that smacks of patriarchy is certainly not going to be popular in the contemporary pagan society. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a mouthful. Well, certainly there is a faction inside our pagan community that is sort of still doing the knee-jerk thing from, living inside a mundane patriarchal society. And for women, it can be very difficult. You're growing up and you're being told that, you know, it's all Eve's fault when you go to church. And, you know, I mean, right down to, well, the menstrual cramps that, you know, you have every month are because of Eve. It's all her fault. The pain of childbirth, all her fault. And all women will have it because of her, and all women, you know, in the future will have it. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. And it's very sort of damning and makes you feel like, in some ways, guilty for something you had nothing to do with. And they use it as a way of, honestly, in my opinion, it was used as a way of making women feel less than men. And so there's an aspect, even inside the pagan community, where women feel they need to have a better footing than that. And it's sort of a knee-jerk reaction that often, you know, a lot of young Wiccans/pagans who first come to this path, and when I say young, I don't mean, you know, chronologically young, like 20. They can be 50 and just be finding their path. And start out that way. A lot of people start out in a Dianic vein, but as they mature, one hopes that they realize when they look around at nature, because that's our job as observers of nature, as witches, is to see that nothing can reproduce, unless you're an amoeba, nothing can reproduce without some equal part of their exact opposite. So you have to have a male and a female in order to create life. And they have to have equal roles. One is not more significant than the other. You cannot get apples off of a single apple tree. There must be two apple trees to pollinate each other. And so you sort of come by observation and by wisdom to realizing that life is more balanced than that, than considering, you know, male deity to be below female deity. In my opinion, they are on a par with each other. They have different roles, certainly, just like mom and dad have different roles in each household, depending on, you know, who's the breadwinner and who's going to take care of the household and do that sort of housework and chores. And it's the same sort of division of labor. You know, they each have their role. So, yes, the pagan community sometimes has issues with taking in and taking to heart certain male archetypes, I believe. And that could be part of why the sage is so overlooked. Is that the question you asked me? I know I got kind of off on a rampage there.
Well, no, but I think that does address what I was saying, and I think you're right. The you and I speak all the time about our belief that, you know, it is important to embrace and to recognize the need for both the masculine and the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
know, there is, you know, as you put it, that faction that sometimes it is the newcomer, and there is that faction within the pagan community that simply rejects the masculine out of course. They just simply simply reject it. They can't get their minds wrapped around the idea of balance in the here and now. We need 2,000 years of matriarchy to balance out 2,000 years of patriarchy and all those kind of, you know, and I hesitate to say misguided, but I feel they are. You know, this idea that we can seek balance by further imbalance.
Well,
you know, the two wrongs don't
make
the right.
Make right.
But, yeah, exactly.
That was spooky.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And we're so, you know, we are very much, you know, connected. And, you know, we need to seek balance within each moment,
mm-hmm.
Within our lives as we live today.
Right.
You know, seeking balance by trying to push the pendulum in the other direction for a certain period of time to balance out whatever, that's not, you know.
Yep.
Iglesias is saying, you know, balance isn't achieved by tipping the scale completely in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's achieved by meeting in the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, the symbolic great right is a perfect example of that, where we say that the god is not greater than the goddess, nor is the goddess greater than the god, but both are equal.
Mm-hmm.
And neither is complete without the other.
Yeah.
You know, relegating the god to consort and sperm donor, you know, celestial sperm donor, diminishes greatly our ability to experience life in a positive way.
Yeah, and you know,
whether you're male or female.
Yeah, and I often wonder if that how historical that concept is. You know, I am not the book witch. I am the experience observational witch. So, you know, for all of those of you out there who are archaeologically minded and historically minded and have read all the history books, if you want to argue with me, you know, send a letter to the to the radio station. But I
look
wonder.
Look forward to your letter. Stern.org@gmail.com.
There you go. But I wonder if that sort of sperm donor attitude about male deity hasn't come with our current culture, where all too often young men are growing up and doing that. They're becoming sperm donors and moving on and not sticking it out, not fathering their children, and not being
well,
responsible.
But nobody's teaching these young men.
I totally agree.
That's what society thrusts upon them. And then if there's any attempt to stay involved in the life, you're either forced to marry if there's any kind of benefits that might be available to assist this young mother.
Mm-hmm.
If the father is living in the house, well, then all the benefits are cut off because, you know, it's all designed to destroy the family. It's all designed by social engineers somewhere to make more and more people dependent upon the government. Rather than building strong families, they're destroying families. We have a media that perpetuates this, that makes every father figure on TV into a buffoon. And
I see I've hit on one of your pets.
Oh, it is. This is one of my favorites. This is my dark blue soapbox, and I will climb up on this from time to time. And I think that it goes to the very heart of the fact that we don't embrace the sage, because we don't embrace anything positive in masculinity in contemporary culture. the idea of, we've got, either macho, Jersey Shores, we've got rap artists, and professional athletes. And these professional athletes were never taught to be men because there's no father around, because the fathers have been kicked out of the house by the government that is socially engineering a fatherless society, denigrating men, casting all of these young men into this kind of purgatory. There's no one that stands up for these men and says, I will be the father. I will be a father figure. It's just rampant. And then you and I try to get together and talk about the male archetypes along with the feminine archetypes. And, we're doing research, finding anything on the masculine archetypes is so difficult.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is actually very true.
And the sage being the old wise man, we can't have that shit. Where does a man get off being, being wise? Nobody wants to hear. So, that's I think where this all comes from, and I still believe it's social engineering. And I think it's done on purpose. So there.
Okay, and with that said, anybody wants to send their letters to?
Yes, I look forward to your letter. You can email me at burn.org@gmail.com.
Well, no one ever said you were a man of wishy-washy opinions, my dear, so I have to give you that. That's brave and commendable. And you do have a point. Yeah, you do have a point. They do make it very difficult. I don't know if the government does it on purpose, but it certainly looks like they make it easier. For people with children to be isolated rather than trying to work it out. I think our culture in general, and you and I have talked about this as part of our relationship. I think couples and people in general in our culture, this relationship's not working. I'll just trade it in for a new one and a different one. So it's just easier.
Yeah, it's
just
like upgrading your toaster. People are not takers. My wife is not a lot. My fiance is not a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
If we have issues, we talk about them. We work through it. We communicate. It's worth working for.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships and spouses and significant others are not disposable.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But anyway.
Yeah, we're not toasters. And so there should be some, there should be some mechanism in place before, people just willy-nilly throw relationships away to entice them and encourage them to work it out. And, that is one of the things I have to say that organized religion does offer, couples counseling or whatnot. And unfortunately, I think not enough people avail themselves of those free services. Even in the pagan community, you can still go to your high priest and priestess and say, hey, we're having a problem communicating. Do you think you guys could moderate or mediate that? And your high priest and priestess, that is part of their job.
Yeah.
The cool part about being
high priest and high priestess is that we actually have experience.
Yes. Yep.
Let's face it, most of us have been through any number of relationships trying to get to where we are.
Yeah.
Now, you and I have been through a boatload of them.
Oh, yeah, well, together I think that we probably could, you know, spend hours swapping stories about how miserable people have been in our life in the past and how poorly we've been treated.
and what we've learned from that is a lot of ways to not go there.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And the one way to not go there is to talk about everything. But while talking about everything, we probably should talk about the sage and start wrapping up the show.
Yeah, we got off on a tangent, didn't we? Wild hair.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we start talking about the denigrating men and men's roles. I'm going to take that right turn and follow that, you know, follow that one every time. Now, I will also say that I find it interesting that the people that we make dependent upon the government, you say it's not the government's fault, but we make these people dependent upon government, and then we allow them to vote. Then they can vote for people that are going to make sure that they keep getting whatever it is that they're, you know, they're looking for.
Mm.
So, yeah. Just
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. So, but.
Anyway, so the sage, the old wise man, experience, you know, wisdom, you know, you can achieve a certain measure of wisdom, you know, in younger years, but there's a certain depth that comes with experience that you simply cannot get until you've been there, done that, you know, been there, done that, you know, got the T-shirt, wore the T-shirt, wore out the T-shirt, used the rags to clean up the mess. And until you've been to, you know, to that clean, you know, use the rags to clean up the mess, you know, you're not really in that final stage. And I think that's the one thing that we lack, is that we don't listen to the people that have been there and done that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So.
That's very true. On a closing note, I want to tell a story. A short one.
I love your stories.
Good. I went to my IIN conference a couple of years ago and had the good fortune to see the gentleman there who, and you can look this up, who did this National Geographic study about what they call blue zones. And blue zones are actually places in the world where people routinely live to be 100 years old or better. And one of the places they went to was Okinawa, Japan. And the culture in Okinawa, Japan, when you're 5 years old and you start out in school there, they take a bunch of kids from the same geographic area and they put them together in a sort of pod, a friendship pod. And these people remain friends for their entire life, from 5 years old to into their hundreds. They meet regularly. They have social things that are organized by their families together their whole life. So this documentary, this gentleman went to this one place in Okinawa, and he was speaking to this woman who was 107 years old, I believe, and he asked her, "What's your purpose? At 107 years old, what is your purpose?" And she looked at him and she said, "My purpose every day is to get up and love my family." And that is the wisdom of being the sage or the crone, and you're just gonna be there to love them. And that is the greatest purpose that anyone can have. So to aspire to that, that's my goal. I want to be 107 years old and still be around to love my family. And I hope that I hope we all get to do that. Is really embrace that crone and that sage energy and just love our families, love the people in our lives, And that's one of the seven things that they say, that people who live to be old physically manage to do, is love other people. And they have a great capacity to love people, even when they're doing things that they don't necessarily agree with or particularly like. So love and loving others helps you live longer. So there's my story.
All right. Oh, I like that story. And you say you aspire to that. Well, I see that in you now.
Well, thank you.
You know, life on the mountain. You know, our changing roles. Life happening all around us. And, you know, all the children and just loving the children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so much going on. And it's just so amazing and wonderful to experience that. And to be, you know, I talked about the rule being thrust upon me, but there's also that point of enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
That I do enjoy that that energy, those, you know, being surrounded by the kids and, you know, teaching them, not necessarily teaching them by sitting in a classroom, but teaching them by setting an example, putting them to work when I'm working around the yard, getting them involved. And just making them a part of my life, and seeing how other people, you know, react to it. You know, it's not just the kids that notice or react, but it's, you know, there's other people that notice, and it's kind of cool. And you know, it's not something I expected. I, you know, like we said earlier, you know, I'm not that old. Now, I didn't think I was that. You know, I didn't think I was ready for that, you know, for that role, but, you know, the kids did. You know, embracing the energies, embracing the roles that come to us. The sage. Do you have any final thoughts before I start relaxing into my my final thought?
No, I think I shot my wad there with the story on the little lady from Okinawa.
All right, cool. Anybody that wants to get in touch with us, we've said the email a few times, but you can contact any host or panelist or member of the staff at the station. You can email us at cern.org@gmail.com. That's cern.org@gmail.com. You can check out our Facebook page, Spiritual Unity Radio Network. If you want to get in touch with Robin or I, or both of us together, you can email littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Check out our Facebook page, Little Stone Bridge Path Workings on Facebook. Let's see, Robin A. McKean on Facebook. And the easiest way to find me is my public figure page, Rev Terry Power HP, or follow me on Twitter, at Rev Terry Power HP.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that pretty well sums it all up.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, the sage energy is to me, particularly as I experience it right now, a wondrous and joyful thing. There's a sense of protectiveness, but not protection like the warrior. It's a more subtle protection. It's it is truly joyous to realize that all of the experiences of my life, all of the things that I have dealt with, the things that I've done well, the things that I've done not so well, are all opportunities to grow and to ultimately share that knowledge, those experiences, the good and the bad. Now, Glacius said something in the chat room earlier about, the old man walking up and saying, watching the catastrophe or something to that effect and saying, told you so. The idea of how's that working out for you? The fact that that's become one of my favorite sayings or favorite questions lately is probably indicative of that energy. Not really sure where I was going with all of this, but the fact is, the sage is the old grandfather. We need to recognize and honor the more experienced persons in our world. We as a society warehouse our old people. And the only people that really get to benefit from their knowledge is the staff at the old folks' home. And, that didn't used to be that way. Even a couple of generations ago, families lived together until someone passed. The Native Americans call every older person grandfather and every older woman grandmother, because they recognize that experience and that knowledge and that wisdom that comes with experience. We should embrace that again. Don't let the story and the wisdom of our more seasoned citizens escape us. Learn from them now while we still have them. And recognize that you're going to be one of them someday, too. And how do you want to be treated when it's your turn? Meditate, embrace that experienced energy. And see if there's not a certain joy and love in there. And I guess I'm just about done now, so I'm going to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.